Classical Connections with John Toll, IMRO Specialist Music Broadcaster 2017.
On BBC Radio Ulster.
And you're very welcome to the programme that brings you some of the world's greatest music of the last 500 years. The lively second movement from Mendelssohn's Scottish Symphony, performed by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Stefan Sanderling, kicking us off for today on Classical Connections. Coming up this afternoon, the science of wind instruments with Ulster Orchestra bassoonist Greg Topping. What's the difference between a panoramic quartet and a string quartet? Find out later. And we'll have some music inspired by the moon. Stay with us. Love that. That's a song to the moon by Dvorak from his opera Rusalka, sung there by Leslie Garrett. And after the lunar goings-on of the last week, music inspired by the moon will be the subject of my classical connection later on in the programme. Now, not the usual suspects, it'll not be like Moonlight Sonata and those kind of obvious ones. It's three pieces you mightn't have heard before. At least you mightn't have heard them arranged like this, and I'll give you a big clue for any Man City supporters. There might be one in there for you. That's coming up after four. Now, off to Connemara next. Music from Bill Whelan. That's Cakewalk from the Suite of Old American Dances by the American composer Robert Russell Bennett. He died in 1981. He grew up in Kansas City, and that was a set of pieces designed to sort of depict this old amusement park that used to be in Kansas City. It was brightly lit and people used to go along and dance all these different kind of dances, and he was trying to recreate that in that particular piece. And apparently it's a favourite of school and college bands in America to this day. You heard the Royal Northern College of Music Wind Orchestra, conducted by Clark Rundle. And actually, talking about wind instruments, we'll be talking about the science of wind instruments with bassoonist Greg Topping from the Ulster Orchestra after the news at four. It's coming up as part of the Northern Ireland Science Festival on the 18th of February at the Sonic Arts Research Centre at Queen's. But we continue with more wind music in the form of the Brass Quartet featuring Gerard McChrystal from Derry and a little adagio by Mozart. That's the Brass Saxophone Quartet featuring Gerard McChrystal and an adagio from Mozart's Kuchel 361. You're listening to Classical Connections, BBC Radio Ulster, BBC Radio Foyle, and from a sax quartet to a panoramic quartet. Malachy Robinson founded the Panoramic Quartet 5 years ago this month. He's a double bass player based in Dublin. The other musicians are all members of the Irish Chamber Orchestra. They're coming to Belfast's Duncairn Arts Centre as part of the Night Music Series. That's a series of evening concerts that's organised jointly by Moving on Music, the Belfast Music Society and the Contemporary Music Centre. And as Malachy explained to me, the Panoramic Quartet has a slightly unusual layout.
Well, it's one violin, one viola, a cello and a double bass. It's the most logical thing in the world, and mostly when I have suggested this idea to composers, or in fact anybody, but composers in particular, they go, yeah, that's a thing. You know, that's the first reaction is, oh yeah, that's a thing. But then they think about it and they realize they've never heard it, and actually it's not a thing. And they almost unanimously, composers have wondered, why is that not a thing? Why does that not exist?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. In terms of choral singing, you have soprano, alto, tenor and bass.
Exactly.
That's your soprano, alto, tenor and bass of the strings.
So that was precisely my thought, was exactly that reference to human voices. Second year of existence.
All the music you'll hear in the Duncairn is modern music. I mean, the oldest piece, am I right in saying, is probably the Martineau
That's right, yeah.
So would that even be 100 years old?
No, not even that. No, it's not. It's in the 50s, I think. It was written in the 50s.
And one of the pieces is a quartet by Matthew Whiteside, who's from Northern Ireland.
He is, Matthew Whiteside. He's sorry not to be there. He's got another performance on. I think he's in London, although he lives in Glasgow. And he wrote us one of the pieces that we played in our very first year, so we're grateful to him for that. He called it Quartet, which is a good title.
Imaginatively entitled.
Yeah, he said that at the time. He said imaginatively titled was how he described it. But it's a terrific piece, and our performance of it in our first year, one of our performances, was videoed and went up on YouTube. And he has been as astonished as we have that in the 4 years that video has been up, and it's just a live performance, it's not very sophisticated recording or anything, it's had over 7,500 views.
Still to come on the show, music for bassoon from the Ulster Orchestra, bassoonist Greg Topping. And Greg's going to play possibly the most famous bassoon piece in the world if you were a kid watching TV in the 70s. The only clue I'll give you is psht, and I'll say no more. Greg coming up around about 4:30. But time now for a track from our CD of the week, which comes from the Deutsche Grammophon label, and it's pianist Daniel Barenboim, his new album of music by Debussy. From it, this is Pagode. That's the second movement, the Allegretto from Shostakovich's Great Symphony No. 5, taken from a Grammy Award-winning album. They won the Grammy for Best Orchestral Performance, and it's a CD of music by Shostakovich, his Symphony No. 5, and Barber's Adagio, performed by the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Manfred Honeck. Now, the Contemporary Music Centre, or the CMC, based in Dublin, provides a resource for new music in Ireland, and every so often they release a CD showcasing the best of Irish compositional talent. The latest CD, New Music New Ireland 3, is being launched this week in London. I spoke to Ryan Malloy, composer whose music features on the CD, and Yvonne Ferguson from the CMC, and asked, why London?
Well, John, this year, Culture Ireland, which is the agency that promotes the arts from the island of Ireland internationally, decided that their focus was going to be on Great Britain. So the promotion of arts from the island of Ireland in Great Britain right throughout 2018. So we decided
that we're launching the CD in London as well.
Well, the piece of yours that's featured on the CD is called Cantaract. It's for clarinet and fixed media. Now, if you listen to it, it sounds like a choir, but what's the difference?
So there are voices involved here. I've basically taken a recording of Perlatan's Viderunt Omnes, which is a chant that is very close to my heart. The sound world has always been something I've loved, found very fresh, despite the fact it's 800-900 years old. And so it starts out with the voices, and you can quite clearly discern that they are voices, but they gradually get transformed. So you never really hear the Perlatan in its original format. It's been filtered a little bit. And one of the reasons I've chosen it is because the whole piece is a kind of a prayer. Cantaract means chant. And it's quite a short little piece. It's only 5-6 minutes. But it tries to be, I suppose, a meditative kind of reflection. And the clarinet melody is never too, it doesn't interrupt too much. It sits alongside the sound world of the Perlatan.
Ryan's piece is one of the pieces on these two CDs. And I mean, to start to describe the breadth of every single one, you just do not know. The first one, Ed Bennett's piece, Free Falling, begins with a bang. It's the symphony orchestra kicking off with a bang. A piece about Felix Baumgartner falling to earth, kind of inspired by that. Then you have something like Jennifer Walsh's piece, which is, how do you describe it?
Totally different. Yeah,
it's like a woman singing right. It's like a woman singing on the radio, singing a song on the radio in the distance while somebody closer to you is telling a story or reading some facts from something that's been written.
Yeah, Jenny's heavily kind of influenced and inspired by what goes on right across.
You're listening to Classical Connections with John Toll on BBC Radio Ulster.
And you're very welcome back to the show. Still to come, Music of the Moon is my classical connection coming up later. And Ulster Orchestra bassoonist Greg Toppin with a children's TV favourite from the 1970s. Don't go away. Oh, I always love Avi Avital, mandolin player with the Venice Baroque Orchestra, and that's a presto from a Vivaldi concerto in A minor. You're listening to Classical Connections with me, John Toll, on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Radio Foyle. Another track now from our CD of the week from pianist Daniel Barenboim, and it's an album of piano music by Debussy marking the 100th anniversary of Debussy's death in 1918. From it, what else? This is Clair de Lune. Beautiful. That's Clair de Lune, famous piano piece by Debussy from his Suite Bergamasque, performed there by Daniel Barenboim, taken from his new album, which is on the Deutsche Grammophon label, marking 100 years since the death of Debussy. And it leads beautifully into my classical connection for today. Because the moon is the theme of my classical connection today. Did you see that super blue blood moon this week? I looked up in the middle of Wednesday night and the moon was huge and bright and clear. Now, I couldn't say from where I was looking at it that it was particularly blue or particularly red, but I thought that I put together three classical pieces connected to or inspired by the moon that you mightn't have heard before. There's the Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven, of course. You have Schumann and Schubert wrote loads of songs about the moon. And earlier on the show, you might have heard the beautiful Song to the Moon from the opera Rusalka by Dvorak. So, my classical connection today is connected by the only object to which we have sent humans out there. And the first one, you'll definitely know, especially if you're a Man City fan, but you mightn't have heard it arranged like this. Inspired by the super blue red moon this week. And it's punk music next. Not something I say very often on this programme. 1977 was the year Elvis died. It was the year punk music exploded. It was the year the Sex Pistols tried to interrupt the Queen's Silver Jubilee celebrations from a boat on the Thames. And the unmanned probe Voyager 2 was launched into space with that famous golden record containing sounds of life and culture on Earth, including a bit of Bach, some Beethoven, and Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode. Well, on the 8th of February 1977, the New York rock band Television released their seminal album, Marquee Moon, described as a masterpiece of electric poetry. It regularly appears in the list of greatest rock albums of all time, and the title track was taken and arranged by the award-winning Kronos Quartet, and this was the result. BBC Radio Foyle. Greg Topping is a bassoonist with the Ulster Orchestra. He's given a talk called The Science of Wind Instruments as part of the Northern Ireland Science Festival that's coming up on the 18th of February. We'll hear him talking about that in a moment, but first he's going to play a movement from a sonata for bassoon and piano by the German composer Johann Friedrich Fasch.
Because we don't have our own, basically.
Why did you become a bassoonist?
It's a weird one. I think it was an open day, I think, and there was an oboe and bassoon room. And
in school, this was?
It was in a Hertfordshire music service back in St Albans. They had an open day. And, yeah, my mum was showing me around. and I picked the bassoon. I was one of the few cases where it wasn't the last instrument left in the band room.
Yeah.
That you play that. No, I actually chose to play it when
and
I was.
And what was it about the bassoon that made you choose it?
I think it was the sound that, more than anything, and that kind of low resonant sound drew me to it.
Because you always feel sorry for the kids in primary school who get the big instruments, you know.
Exactly.
The ones who end up playing the cello and the double bass and the bassoon because, you know, and parents are probably looking and thinking, oh, I'm going to have to lug that thing around. Or harp players.
Exactly, that's
going to have to lug this thing around everywhere.
Yeah.
And sometimes the instrument's as big as them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But in this case, you actually, there was some connection.
I actually picked it,
instant attraction.
Yeah.
And what characterises bassoon players? You know, I always think brass players are a bit cheeky and flautists are a bit dreamy and late.
Well, I can't really speak for all of us, but I think we're probably quite quiet as a whole. Quite a quiet, thoughtful bunch. Slightly awkward, probably. Slightly bits of antisocial behaviour there. But, you know. But I think we're a fairly normal, balanced bunch, I think.
But you're propping up the woodwind section. You're the kind of bass.
Exactly, yeah. Right at the root of the woodwinds, yeah.
So tell me about this talk then. The science of wind instruments. And you're using the bassoon to demonstrate that kind of the science that's involved in producing a sound.
Yeah, so amongst all the woodwinds, what makes the sound of a bassoon is something called a double reed, which is effectively two bits of cane wired together, much like if you've got a blade of grass between your thumbs and blue, it creates the sound in the same way.
So that's it lifted off the instrument and just on its own, that's the kind of, that's such a high sound.
I know.
Compared to what the bassoon does.
Exactly, yeah.
So what makes that sound so low in a bassoon? Is it all this tube? Now, and I have to say, if you're of a certain age and you watch TV in the 70s, this is very possibly one of the most famous bassoon pieces of all time. Wouldn't that be fair?
I'd say so, yeah.
Now, there's a whole generation of people working in here who don't know the piece at all because they're too young. But I think round about, if you're in your 40s, you'll probably know it. It's the theme tune from
Ivor the Engine.
Ivor the Engine. Who wrote this and what's the kind of story behind it?
Gosh, you know, that's a good question. It's a composer called Vernon Elliott, and I heard it when I was young. I think my parents had an old VHS copy of it back in the day.
Before your time.
Exactly.
Well, look, when I heard you practicing it earlier on, I just thought that brought me straight back, I have to say. Good to see you, Greg. Thank you for coming in. The talk is on Sunday the 18th of February at 3 o'clock at the Sonic Arts Research Centre on the Malone Road in Belfast. All the best. And this is Greg with Sheila Greer at the piano and the signature tune from Ivor the Engine. Music next from another Academy Award nominated score for this year's ceremony and from Radiohead's Johnny Greenwood, his score to The Phantom Thread, which is apparently Daniel Day-Lewis's last film, he says. From the score, this is Endless Superstition. That's Endless Superstition. I love it because it sounds like it should be saccharine and sweet, but it's actually, there's a darkness in there too. Music by Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead, and that's taken from his score to The Phantom Thread, nominated for an Academy Award. Now, a look at the classical charts and Voce's 8, their new album Equinox, is straight in at number 3. From it, this is Ave Maris Stella. The Grand Valse Brillante by Chopin, performed there by Vladimir Ashkenazy, rounding up today's Classical Connections. Thanks to all our guests, bassoonist Greg Topping, Malachy Robinson from the Panoramic Quartet, Yvonne Ferguson from the CMC and composer Ryan Malloy. If you missed the concert on Friday night from the Guildhall featuring Jarlath Henderson and Niall Hanna with the Ulster Orchestra, just go to the iPlayer radio app and you can listen again. Graham Stewart produced. Until the next time, from me, John Toll. Take care. Bye-bye.